This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Ron Coomer on deck.
And Ronnie's been red hot. He's been in his zone.
Ron Coomer.
Let's see if the Cubs can respond.
We're helping him out.
Coomer drives one into right center field. Long run, Pierre. Pierre dives, misses it. It bounces all the way to the wall.
That's a nice knock for the old hometown boy, isn't it?
Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
What a ball game. The wait is over. Right? It is over. The Cubs are World Series champions. How does that sound, partner?
1999 American League All-Star.
From the American League All-Stars. Infielder Ron Coomer.
The Coom Dog with Mully and Haw.
Woohoo!
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ron Coomer is one of God's great men. And he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out at Aturo.com. Ron, wow, what a late night joy that was. Congratulations on the first game of the year in America. In America.
Yes, in America. It was a nice ball game for the Cubs, absolutely. Fun night. Opening night is always, opening day is always a fun day. You could feel it around the clubhouse. The thing that was enjoyable, too, that, you know, we don't talk about enough is when young guys make the team for the first time, like Gage Workman, Matt Shaw, some of that stuff to me is really cool too. You know, you revert back to being a kid, you know, growing up and trying, you know, I can remember playing Little League baseball right in Chicago, you know, and wishing that would happen one day and hoping. And so for a couple of those guys yesterday, that came true. So a pretty cool day all in all.
Miguel Amaya wasn't making his debut, but he certainly wouldn't qualify as a guy maybe is proven, has a lot to prove this year, and he started out the right way in the reopening day against the Diamondbacks. Coom, 5 runs batted in, Amaya 2 for 5, batting ninth, which I think the reconfiguration of the batting order helped a lot of Cub fans feel better about what they were looking at. But Amaya especially, how big of a season is this for him, and is he the guy that you're seeing continue the momentum he established at the end of last season?
I would say yes, David. He has a chance to really have a great year. He does. And I think he's got a lot to owe to, you know, the period of time that we went back in the middle of last season when they gave him the weekend off and counts and hitting coaches, you know, took 3 days in the cage and just revamped his setup. And all of a sudden now, you know, he's in a position to make a good pass at the ball. He's had a very good spring. He uses the whole field, and he's a really strong guy. So I like his chances offensively to do some damage. The other thing, too, is he uses the other side of the field. Spring training, he did a lot of damage to right center field. Not home runs, but, you know, extra base hits and driving the ball in that gap. So he's really on track. He's had a good last 6 weeks.
It is it's fun to see 10 runs. I don't care who you are. Everybody likes it when you score a lot of runs. But I thought that I was surprised, frankly, that Zach Gallen wasn't better than he, you know, he's usually very good, and you kind of caught him on the right day. And I thought that Justin Steele was better than he was in Japan, and he was better than Gallen, if that's possible.
It is possible. Here's the one thing, Mike. I really believe this, too. I don't care how long you've been in the league or your status in the league. Sometimes opening day is a different gig. Hmm. And being the guy that's pitching on opening day is a special thing. And I really felt like Gallen yesterday, the adrenaline rush of pitching, he could never find his fastball. He was pulling it down and away from the righties or into the lefties. Then he would make the adjustment and he would sail one, you know, head high or higher. He just couldn't find a release point. And then the Cubs did almost all their damage, knowing that the pitch he could throw for a strike was his breaking ball, kind of that medium slider curveball, not the real biting breaking ball that he was throwing. So he had trouble yesterday, and I think Justin got through some of that early stuff. And then about the fourth inning, it seemed like Justin Steele all of a sudden found that fastball, that four-seamer that he buzzes inside to the righties, and his velocity went up 2 or 3 miles an hour. In the fourth inning, it just was like, and there it is. And he found that pitch, and he started dominating.
What are your impressions of Kyle Tucker, who did have a hit last night, drove in a run? He also walked, pretty selective at the plate, taking a lot of pitches, as is his method. And you respect that because it makes obviously it's why he is the hitter that he has become. Early on, though, Coom, being around him and seeing him now come back, what are your early impressions?
That he knows what he's doing on a baseball field really well. I mean, he's just a really talented guy and has just missed clicking on probably 6 or 7 balls between this spring and yesterday. The ball he hit to left, I thought had a chance of going out of the park. They caught it right at the wall. I think he's going to have a big year for the Cubs. I really do. He's one of those players that does so many things well that he's going to influence the game in a lot of ways.
You know, were you surprised by the decisions that were made for the final roster, including Poteet getting cast asunder? That was the only guy they got in the Bellinger trade, but we all know that was as much a dumping of a salary as anything
right.
else.
I thought the Cubs did what I figured they would do. I didn't know about that move.
Right.
The final bullpen moves, you know, to me, every year are one of those things where you can make a case for probably 3 guys or 4 guys, depending on your camp that you're in. So it's a very difficult one on that last roster spot or two. I can speak just from my own experience, Mike. I can speak of what the roster looks like position player wise. The bullpen, that's one of those things, man. You can make a case for a lot of different things. But when Brujan went down, he banged into the wall and hurt his elbow. That made it real easy for me. I thought all of a sudden now you get to put him on the injured list, not lose him because he's out of options. And keep Gage Workman, who brings something to the table that's very unique. He's a young player that you go, wow, this guy might make our roster, but might be playing in another couple months somewhere. I don't know if it's third base, but somewhere, because he's really playing well.
We're talking with the great Ron Coomer, who is also the brand ambassador on Cubs Radio for Yingling Beer. the new official beer of the Cubs Radio Network here on The Score. Coom, you mentioned Gage Workman. He's going to get a start at some point. He's played left field. He's played second base. He's a natural third baseman. Do you think we see him tonight, tomorrow? Is it important to get him in early because he was left alone, basically, and all but forgotten in Japan?
Yeah, I would say it's important to get him in there, but I don't necessarily know if he's going to start right away. You know, you got another guy, Matt Shaw, who you're trying to get comfortable at third. The one spot that he could start, and it's really kind of what Craig Counsell wants to do. Do you want to get Birdie in there, who had a good game, you know, against the Dodgers in Japan, or do you want Workman in there? I think maybe the matchup might determine that. But, you know, he could play second base. I was amazed at how well he moves in the middle infield when the Cubs gave him a chance to play short and second. So I'm just happy for him, David. You've got one game under your belt that's a win. He'll get in there probably within the next 4 or 5 days. Nico Horner, from watching him yesterday, I think he's going to need some days off here in this first month to really protect that elbow so he doesn't flare it up. Looked like to me yesterday, he kind of goosed that last throw to first base to end the game. And that tells me that playing 9 innings and all the throws and all that in between innings, you know, he's going to need a little time still.
I kind of like the way that that they handled it with Hap at the leadoff spot. I know that, you know, maybe that changes as the year goes on, but he's good there. And God, he played well yesterday.
He really did. He had a very nice day yesterday. And, you know, he's one of those guys. He definitely checks the box of a guy that gets on base, right? His on-base percentage is always good. He works the pitcher. He's never that quick at bat because he's a little over-aggressive. Very seldom do you see that from Ian. But very nice day yesterday, spraying the ball around the yard, and you know, he's done an excellent job and left. So, that was a very nice thing. And, you know, the other thing, too, he just missed hitting a home run late in the game, too. He hooked one just foul. So, the Cubs need him to have a big year if they're going to be playing in October, that's for sure.
Coom, you mentioned Gage Workman and Matt Shaw, guys enjoying their first opening days as a major league player. What do you remember about yours? Where did it come, and what stands out in your memory?
Oh, that's 2 years ago. We got to go back to the memory banks. I remember, you know, the call. I was playing in Tacoma, Washington, the night before. I get traded at the trade deadline, David, August 1st or the 31st of July, and in Tacoma, and I got pulled off the on-deck circle, and I get told by our trainer, and Rick Dempsey was my manager, the old catcher for the Dodgers, but really Baltimore is where he's known. And they just told me, they go, we hope you never play another minor league game again. You're going to the big leagues. You've just been traded to the Twins, and you're going to Cleveland to play the Cleveland Indians tomorrow. And I just remember walking in the clubhouse and seeing Puckett's jersey and Knobloch and some of the guys, Rick Aguilera, and you're looking around the clubhouse going, well, this is pretty cool, you know, and being able to call my family. You know, I got to hit the second day, my first big league hit, I got to hit the second day off Mark Clark. So it was a pretty cool experience. It's the adrenaline rush is absolutely incredible when you go to home plate, let me just tell you.
Any truth to the rumor, Coom, that first hit was a bouncer off Mark Clark's glove?
No, it was not. It was a ground ball in the hole for a base hit.
Just making sure. Just making sure.
Hole, yeah. It was not. I would have thrown that one back.
I heard that somewhere.
Yeah.
I have. I don't know where, but yeah. It was like, yeah, it's ringing a bell from a week ago, I think.
How relieved do you think the Cubs were just to get a victory after having to stew? Even Jed Hoyer alluded to it before the game, Coom. He was talking about, you know, it's not so much starting 0-2, because if you do start 0-2, you can win on Sunday in many series, and you can erase some of that bad feeling. But the Cubs had to sit around and hear about how 0-2 start was a bad way to begin a season for 8 days.
Yeah, I think it was a nice win. It really is. You know, if you've been around our game a long time and you can, you know, put some of the things that are said where they belong, you know, you played two games. You still got, you know, a whole boatload of games to go. So, you know, you can – the first game always feels like a bigger win or a bigger loss than it really is. But you don't want to go 0-3. And this club and this schedule that the Cubs have in the first 25 days is pretty daunting. So, you know, when you get a win and you beat a guy like Gallen, that's a big win, because Cubs are really going to have the work cut out for them in this month of April.
No doubt about that. J-Mo on the bump today. Tomorrow is Shota. It's you just want to win a series. I know that's asking a lot, but that's kind of what you need to have happen.
Yeah, I mean, you'd love to have that. If you split this series, so be it. But, the whole goal, Mike, all season long, you win series. Yep. If you win series, you play playoff baseball. If you win enough series, that's what you do. So, you know, the short-term goal week after week is to win the series. And if you can do that, like I said, you're in great shape. Cubs are in great shape right now after a good effort from Justin and the offense really picked them up. They got a chance to win a series.
Coop, didn't he follow all the pregame stuff as closely because of everything else going on? I don't know if you noticed, but the Sox won and the Bulls won yesterday too. So it was a crazy day in Chicago. But Cubs related, is Matthew Boyd definitely starting Sunday? And he's in that fourth spot in the rotation?
I believe so, yes. Boyd has definitely been – he is in the fourth spot in the rotation, yes. And I believe he will pitch Sunday, correct.
Yeah, I think they had left it at TBD. But that's good news because if he's the pitcher that he was the second half of last season, they really could be onto something. And I think he showed some flashes of that during the exhibition game in Tokyo.
I would agree. He's a guy that we watched him pitch last year once he was healthy against the Cubs. And he really knows what he's doing with the baseball. He can pitch to both sides of the plate. He can run that. He's got that ability, David, to throw that fastball. You know, and it's not a blazing fastball at 100 miles an hour, but that high-riding fastball that starts out at the top of the zone and just doesn't come down into the zone and stays up high. And he gets that swing, and it may not be a swing and miss pitch, but from a right-handed hitter's perspective, it's that ball that you think you should be on, and you just hit that routine lazy fly ball like the right center, and you're like, I'm like, what happened there? And you watch, and he does it over and over and over. So he's going to be a guy that if he's healthy, which I think he is, could have a very good year. That's a great thought by you and seeing what I think a lot of people are hoping happens.
I'm just curious. It is so weird to me that there are – so you guys are going to head to Sacramento next. Sacramento. And it's so weird to me. There are two teams playing in minor league stadiums in Major League Baseball. It's just such an oddity. We've seen it happen with one. The idea that there are two teams that are doing that, it just makes you wonder. And I know that it's just temporary and everybody's moving on. It's still, like, just an oddity.
It really is. I get the Tampa thing. I was down there. I have a house down there that's, you know, 25 minutes from the ballpark and close to Tampa Bay, also in Clearwater. And, you know, the hurricane situation was devastating mm-hmm. with two of them in a row. So you can understand what happened in Tampa. The Oakland thing to me is the puzzling one. You couldn't come up with an agreement to keep them in their stadium until the new one is built. I just can't comprehend how politically the two sides, because or really three sides, with Major League Baseball, the A's and the city of Oakland couldn't come to an agreement where you could stay in your ballpark. Maybe this is a better situation for them. Who knows? That park was really getting pretty dilapidated, but I don't know. It's really an odd situation, Mike. I know they're going to try to make the best of it, but, you know, really? That's pretty bizarre.
That will be one of four opening days the Cubs participate in with all the pomp and circumstance, Coombe. I know we'll talk about it a lot. From a player's perspective, does it matter at all? Or do you just enjoy every moment? Because those are kind of things you don't want to take for granted.
Yeah, we're going to get opening day. Guys will be ready for just a normal ball game where you just go out on the field and play, you know, instead of getting introduced. You got four opening days the Cubs will have this year before the first week of the season is over. So it's pretty bizarre. I've never seen anything like it. But, you know, it just means you get to listen to Pat Hughes a little longer, David. That's what it is.
Never gets old. Never gets old.
You guys are the best. There's no doubt about that. Ron, thanks a ton, buddy. Great catching up with you. Great start to the season. You know, I know it's I know it's 1-2 for the Cubs, but it feels like things have turned. The tides turn. Everything's going well.
It's just a good starting over,
yeah,
essentially.
The reopening.
Coom, did you see the 47-foot shot by Josh Giddey last night?
I did not. No,
you got to check it out.
Heard about it. Yes, I've heard about it. I did not get to see it. I was watching the sunrise here in Scottsdale, Arizona, so I'm still I'm still pre-coffee. So give me an hour, David. I'll catch you. I'll be up to stuff on everything.
Sounds good. We appreciate you getting up early for
us. Yeah, always.
No problem.
Thanks,
at all,
Ron.
Boys. Yep, absolutely. You guys have a great weekend.
God bless. Cool. That is Ron Coomer. He is a great man, and you know there are certain people that we have on regularly that will do anything to.
He's one of them.
He's great. He feels like it's a responsibility. He doesn't ask to go later. He's happy to come on.
Professional athletes are disciplined and they just show up.
Good way of putting
it. Perform.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's just the best. It's fun. And I do feel like I'm not saying this because Dustin isn't here, but I do feel like the Cubs, there's been a little bit of a turn.
So in your mind, they're 1-0.
And I kind of feel that way.
You're kind of ignoring the Japan trip. You're over it.
I felt like the Japan trip was a total
setup. Figment of your imagination?
It was a setup. It was for Ohtani. It was for selling some stuff, and they sold a ton of gear. That's all. I didn't feel like
it was a homecoming.
I didn't feel like it was a real series or whatever.
You think Dustin bumped up the wins for the Cubs now?
I tell you what, he's probably back.
91 wins.
92. Yeah. 91, yeah.
He'll be doing that for the first month of the season.
Is the reason he's not here today because he was so upset that Mike Trout showed up at the Bulls game without a collared shirt?
I'm Mike Trout.
Does not like Mike Trout.
Was he wearing a logo on his shirt?
I'm sure he was.
But he's mad about Trout not playing in Chicago. So, I mean, just taking that a step further, LeBron played. He just didn't play very well.
It's a good thing that he played for the Bulls.
Yes.
Because he gave them a victory.
Because frankly, Bronny could have done that. Yeah. And maybe he'd get in someone's
If there was a
dribble.
Member of the James family more likely to turn the ball over in the closing seconds, I would have bet on Bronny.
But I'm saying that maybe if he's defending Josh Giddey, he can get in his dribble a little bit because he's about 4'2".
No, he's not.
Oh, don't
no,
start.
Stop.
He's gonna give you the business. He's gonna go after you like he went after a certain Screaming Steven.
Oh, you want to get in my face, but you can't get in the face of Josh Giddey and stop that shot. Okay.
You do a really good
Our show just peaked
Steven.
Today.
That's it. It's Molly and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A bit of both. I mean, I didn't know if Pat was going to give it back to me. I was expecting him to go, but he threw it back, and then the defense kept backing up, and I wasn't going to be able to drive around anybody and get closer, so I just pulled up from wherever I did and tried to let it go as best I could. The rest is history.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We're still kind of marveling at the end of that game.
Because the rest really is history.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's Bulls history. It's NBA history.
It was NBA history.
And to that degree, it's interesting what we're watching with Josh Giddey, because beyond just that memorable buzzer beater to beat the Lakers, which was, according to Kevin Herter's Twitter feed, X feed, the craziest game of my life, he tweeted. Get this, Mully. Bulls PR comes up with this stat afterward. Josh Giddey and Michael Jordan are the only Bulls to post at least 220 points, 96 rebounds, and 100 assists over a 10-game period. That's how good this stretch has been for Josh Giddey.
There's, listen.
Triple-double machine. He did it again last night.
And I'm appreciative of it, and he hit that shot. Maybe he can be the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. But Kobe,
that's a great call.
Kobe yeah. has done it 2 weeks running.
It might be a battle of the Bulls for Eastern Conference Player of the Month.
It could be.
How about that?
Who's been more valuable? What a backcourt that has become.
Not only that, like how tall is – it is a big backcourt.
So
Kobe's got to be 6'5", isn't he?
Yes.
Okay, so Giddey's 6'8".
He's tall enough to dunk on Wemby.
Man, that
– Don't forget that.
That. I'm just saying – I mean, I know people have different thoughts on how they play defense, but that is a huge advantage, having size at the guard position.
No doubt about it, and it gives you a lot of options. Yeah. You know, defensively, they're never going to be among the top defensive backcourts in the league, but they certainly give you options, and I think it's the versatility is very appealing. Molly, the other thing about it is that we were talking during the break, and it's something that we have to continue to point out. As much as some of us were supporters and appreciated Zach LaVine's professionalism and all that stuff, fact is the Bulls are better without him. And since he left and was traded, they're 13-13 without Zach LaVine. They were
13-13?
They were 20-27 when they traded him.
Right.
13-13 since. They're 33-40 overall.
Yeah.
And so even ascending to be a 500 team shows the kind of improvement this team has made and the kind of changes they have tweaked in season, not mid-season. It was even later than that. So they have approached this differently without Zach. You see guys like Herter. Zach Collins played a big role last night again. They have been integrated into this system. Trey Jones, they haven't been available because of the injury, but those three players, the ball movement, the unselfishness, the brand of play, the brand of basketball has been very, very entertaining.
It was fun to talk to Billy a couple of days ago, and he's a great guy to talk basketball with. He's a great thinker. He's a gym rat. He just loves the game, and he can talk about it in any way. And when he talked about playing in meaningful games, this is what the Bulls are trying to get to. They're trying to get to a point where they can play in meaningful games. If they get in the playoffs and get clobbered by Cleveland, they still are playing meaningful games. And they still, that will help the development of these players that we're talking about who are developing in front of our eyes.
No doubt.
Matas, obviously Kobe, and Giddey and you know Herter too. He played well yesterday.
He played very well.
They got a group that fits together better than they did when Zach was here for whatever reason.
They have chemistry on the court and off the court. They appear to like each other.
It's
a very good situation right now with the Bulls. More history. This was the first time Josh Giddey's ever hit a game winner.
That's what he said.
Yeah,
KC got him right after the game, and he said, "I've made a layup to go ahead or what." This was the first game winner.
And the great Sam Smith writes on Bulls.com that according to the Bulls, the longest such game winner in franchise history was last night's shot because they haven't kept statistics since before 96-97. So he says it was the second longest in the NBA this season. And according to their records, since they started compiling such things, longest ever.
That's longest ever. So wild. It's so wild.
It's just, and it, you know what also made it a little bit more memorable, if it could be any more indelible, but it came against the Lakers. And that building was full of people who were there for really maybe several reasons, but the biggest one was LeBron and Luka were in town. Showtime.
They captured some fan's face. It's now going viral. It's got like a million copies. It's just been tweeted all over. This guy is standing there with this kind of, like, just, he's got like a half amused, bemused look on his face, and everyone around him is going nuts, and he's almost like frozen in shock because they had won the game and then they lost it, and they lost it with Josh Giddey heaving this thing from that, you know, the way that he kept his follow through And even like he's got the follow through going after the ball goes through, and he's got like Vooch on his back.
Yes.
And then the whole team is running up, and the smiles and the way everyone is just like, they're all like screaming, and everybody wants to grab. It was the whole bench sprints down to the other end of the floor. It was just a moment, one of the best moments at the United Center. Not just this year, maybe in the last 5 years.
It had to be one of the craziest victories of this season or any season.
No doubt.
Just because of what you just described. And
awesome.
The holding the follow through was really something. And it was almost like he was doing it for effect, but I just think he was maybe caught up in the moment. He just was like, is this really going to happen? And he did say he blacked out a little bit, like, you know, you understand, because it was such a flurry of just euphoria afterward on the court, and the people couldn't control themselves. It was like we were watching the college tournament.
Yeah,
it was like it was exactly March Madness.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it was like
who
a
changed
buzzer
channel?
Beater.
It went from Duke, Arizona to the Bulls. Boom.
It's I tell you what, it's kind of like what Brandon said earlier. Like a friend tells you, "Hey, this." Are you watching this Bulls game? I got some texts like that, too, and I was watching the game. But it was the sort of thing where you want to make sure, hey, you didn't turn this off, did you? They're coming back here. It was – they were down – what were they down? Like
18.
They were down 18
in the fourth quarter.
And then they were down 13 with like 3 minutes left or something. They took the lead. Then they're down again. And you're just kind of like, it's not going to work out. And they had a the game ends – They get the layup, right? And then the Bulls have the ball, but no timeouts. They got, you know, what are they going to do? And you heard him say, maybe it was Patrick Williams who would be the guy. No one stopped him. No one tried to throw him off his pace.
No,
or anything.
Really didn't. They were retreating.
Yes.
They were retreating because I think they sensed that he was going to try to take it all the way to the basket Josh Giddey is a guy who had done that.
Yes.
That's the way it's been part of his game. The penetration has been huge because the way he takes the ball to the basket and attacks has been a missing element to his game. So all the Lakers felt like, get back.
Yeah.
And he pulled up. Yeah. And then he extended the follow through, and I love it that he said, of course he's going to say this now. He felt like it felt good coming out of his hand, which is why he held the follow through.
That is awesome.
So,
that's awesome.
Okay, he knew it the moment he heaved it, that it was going in. And you know now, what does
it all
mean?
As you watch it, you knew it. You knew the trajectory of the ball.
Whoa, it's going in.
And it went in, and oh my God, did the place blow up, and that Laker fan.
Four in a row, 9 out of 11. What does it all mean? Not sure yet, because obviously play in into playoff, the first round series, no matter how much fun last night was, the reality is it's going to be a really difficult challenge, whether it's the Cavs or the Celtics. You're going to have a problem there, a big one.
You know what it did mean, though? It meant that, and again, as we have said, and as a guy like Mike Palm kind of informed us, there are a lot of teams that stop playing hard that don't really care at this point. They're either getting ready for the playoffs or they know they're not in, and they are filling out the forms. They're going through the requisite games they have to play. The Bulls are trying to win every night. They've won 11 of their last they've won 9 of the last 11 games because they're trying to win. So it's kind of NBA dog days a little bit, and the Bulls are taking advantage of it. But when you start winning, that there's like a button that's turned.
It's contagious.
It is so contagious.
It's infectious.
You're desperate to keep
it positive.
Going. And I mean, that this whatever anyone says about the draft pick or whatever, this is good for next year.
See, I think that's a great point to make, and it can't be overlooked. Because even though right now, as we sit here this morning, their odds to make the number one overall pick have diminished and been reduced to 2%. All right, 2% overall. They're not getting Cooper Flagg. It was 1.8%, I think, or 1.7% for Derrick Rose, but they're probably not going to get Cooper Flagg.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Well, there's a little chance. And there's only a 9.4% chance they're going to be in the top four. But what you just said is what is most important. What they have done over the last 6 weeks, frankly, since the All-Star break, it's changed the context of this year. Because you can finish the year – And where I feel like we all complained after trading Zach that the way the AK explained it felt a little bit empty and vague and ambiguous.
Yeah.
This team isn't any of those things right now. This team is headed in a positive direction, and they can lean on something that they believe in. Unselfish basketball, the pace of play, how good they are in the fourth quarter, the emergence of Coby White and the development of Matas with Josh Giddey. That's something to build around. That's something to be positive about.
I know this is a dumb thing to say, but if they win 7 of their last 9 games, they'll be 500.
I know.
And that's pretty cool.
We're going to
Saturday's
game. We're going Saturday night. It's going to be fun. We're going to
– Are we going Tuesday? We might be going Saturday and Tuesday.
They play the Thunder, that one. That's going to be a good one.
Tuesday's the Thunder?
I think they play the Thunder on the, after that one, yep.
Wait, no, don't they go to Oklahoma City?
They go on to Oklahoma.
Okay, so wait, Tuesday night is a home game, April 1st. Let's check the schedule there, Brandon. Because I do think...
And don't be doing any of that April 1st garbage. Yeah. Tell us the game.
I think because...
They're playing the Washington Generals. Knock it off.
The Bulls tomorrow night have the Mavericks and AD coming home.
AD coming home.
Will he be playing?
The Mavericks are on a very bad stretch.
Yeah, very
bad
stretch.
They're putting together losses the way the Bulls have been putting together wins. They're awful right now. And I think Luka may have just played with the Lakers. I don't think he's going to play with the Mavericks.
So, Brandon.
Again. Yeah, and then after that, they play the Thunder on the 31st, March 31st.
They go to Oklahoma City. And then they come home the second of a double-double to host the Raptors.
The Raptors.
So Tuesday, April 1st is the Raptors game at the United Center.
That Thunder game is going to be the one I'm going to watch. Giddey and Caruso, the revenge game?
Yeah, it'd be a good revenge game. I don't like the Bulls'
triple
chances
double,
there.
Triple-double, Giddey.
Oh!
Against the Thunder, triple-double.
Okay.
Well, I think that Oklahoma City might be good, but have they ever faced the 47-foot shot? I think he should keep doing it.
I do.
Just run up the floor and throw that thing up. If he can hit like 5 of them, it'd be worth doing it.
You know what?
Thunder has no chance against the fastest team in the league. Okay.
Oh, wow.
The best running team in basketball.
Now he sounds a little like the guy he was imitating. Hot take artist over here.
Mike Malone said that.
Mike Malone said
that's right. Okay.
But he grew up with Billy. He was just saying it to be nice.
It's interesting, though, Molly. 33-40. You're exactly right. If they win. Okay, so there are 9 games left.
They need 7 of the last 9 to be 500.
No, they need 8.
They need 8 to be 500?
Yeah, 41-41. They need to win 8 out of 9.
All right.
That could be tough. OKC could be the final defeat. Because the rest of the schedule.
Yeah,
boy, do we sound silly.
Come on. It's incredibly stupid.
The Mavericks, Saturday night, they play the Blazers, and after the Raptors, and they got the Hornets. They play the Cavs. Well, the Cavs might be resting people.
Yeah, the Cavs.
No, okay.
They could be resting people. You might be right.
They could be playing the Cavs.
The Heat and the Wizards playoffs. And the Sixers to end the season. They could win all 3 of those.
Horrible. Can they move up in the standings? Can they just be a playoff team and then they don't have to?
That would be fun.
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Although some people are covering their ears and rejecting the notion that they are getting to the point where are they any better than mediocre? For the last 6 weeks they have been.
I feel like we should let them be mediocre.
I feel like the highest they can go to is the 7th seed right now. They're currently right now 2 games back of the Hawks.
Who are the Hawks?
Hawks schmucks.
Hawks schmucks. Trey Young.
Hawks. Are those the guys with the mispronounced name that play who played last night, Florida?
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Hawk.
No, talking the Atlanta Hawks.
No, I'm talking about your doppelganger, your strange mispronounced.
Oh, Thomas Hawk?
See what I'm saying?
H-A-U-G-H? Yeah, no. Not that Hawk, the other the Atlanta Hawks. Not the Pennsylvania Hawks.
Not the wind that's coming in and cutting us in half.
No, not that either.
Not the Hawk.
So you can watch the Bulls this weekend. You can also get the Cubs tonight because the Cubs continue their series against the Diamondbacks right here on The Score. Pre-game coverage at 8:05. Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer on the call. First pitch is 8:40 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network.
Well, I had a blast today. I don't know about anybody else,
fun.
But we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, goodness gracious. It's really something special when all our teams win and everyone is happy
it's
about.
It's a very unfamiliar feeling today.
It is. You're not.
What
joking.
Is this thing called Glee?
I think it's like a show where you do a lot of singing. I don't remember.
There will be no singing.
Okay, thank God. All right. We got Transition next on The Score, Mully and Haw.